beautiful body of Christ, you, this building, wonderful praise music, incredible preaching. Why would anyone want to be anywhere else except right here? I noticed that our sermon today is based on a verse that's only 9 words long. I remember the last time that happened. I think the verse was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then 1,533 verses and a year and a half later, we finished the book of Genesis. We'll see where this one takes us. Let's pray. Lord God, you are holy, holy, holy. But incredibly, you're also very approachable. Wanting and loving, hearing from us in prayer. We come today, to you today, asking to meet with you. We know you are here because you are always with us. Nevertheless, we ask that you would show your presence to each person here in a unique and personal, heartwarming way. Lord, we are needy people. Mostly, we need you. More today than yesterday. More tomorrow than today. Ever increasing. It's you, Lord, that sees the inner turmoil and struggles that we have day to day. We ask for your peace to calm our anxieties. We ask for your light to shine in our darkness and your love to fill us with hope. We pray that today's message does not go in one ear and go out the other, but by the power of the Spirit within us, we really hear it with understanding minds, believing hearts, and obedient lives. And that we internalize and take action on what you tell us to do, your commands. We lift up our pastor as he comes to give us the message that you have put on his heart. You would empower him by your Spirit. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Dan, I got to say thank you for the compliment. You said you complimented my preaching, and I haven't even started yet, so appreciate that. Usually compliments follow, or potentially follow, but thank you for that. I actually heard someone, part of this cohort that we meet every other week for a discipleship training, and one of the guys brought to my attention something I haven't heard in a long time. You ever heard of the name Chuck Swindoll before? Yeah, some of you old-timers know, maybe young-timers know it as well, but Chuck Swindoll has had a long, rich history. He said this about sermons. There's many sermons that are like this. He said, sermons are oftentimes like longhorn bulls. There's two points and a lot of bull between it. So my hope and prayer is that there's less bull and more substance, and there's points to be made, but it's all well worth our time. So that is my hope and my prayer for our time this morning. Again, this is still an act or a response of worship. Our worship is really our posture and what we give our attention to, what our hearts are drawn to. And so sometimes it's singing, but sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes it's just the ability to receive and listen to God's word together. Now, let me start off our time like this. This is not necessarily a health 101. I'm not going to talk about, this isn't biology 101, but most of you know this, that our bodies, we're born with how many senses? You can count on one hand. Yep, five senses. We got the sense of taste, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, the sense of sight, and the sense of hearing or listening, right? Sound. It's interesting to note that doctors and morticians, even hospice workers, in fact, I was visiting someone yesterday, Karen Monroe yesterday, and talking with Grant, and we were actually even discussing this very point, but when our bodies are about ready to die, guess what sense is the last sense to go? You all know this. You all know, like, yeah, the sense of hearing is the last to go. Everything else kind of begins kind of like just shut down. But even when someone looks like they're in a comatose kind of state, often they're saying, like, they can actually hear you. And sometimes they can't really respond. But even yesterday, as I'm talking with Karen Monroe, who is in hospice and about ready to meet her maker, about ready to meet Jesus for the first time face to face, even when you put your hand on her, her body's twitching when you're talking with her. She can't talk, she can't verbalize, she can probably even see you. But she can hear. I think it's kind of ironic that even though hearing is the last sense to go before we die, I think it seems to be that for many of us, our sense of hearing has never been activated, if you know what I mean. Our sense of hearing or our ability to listen has oftentimes been too jaded or nuanced by too many noises. In fact, probably more common, or maybe it's better to say it this way, we have all perfected in our own way what is commonly called selective hearing, right? We have this ability to hear or to listen selectively and to tune out the noises that we don't care about. And of course, if you're a parent, you especially know what I'm talking about in the room. Parents or future parents, just pay attention. This is going to happen or already does happen. I mean, how many of you parents have lost your cool with your kids, right? Not that you guys do that, but how many of you parents, you know of other people that have lost their cool with their kids. When you're talking to them and it's just like, are you even listening? Right? They might be looking at you, but they look like they're looking through you. And you can tell their mind is not paying attention to what you're saying, and you've said it 16 times, and it's like, why aren't they listening? And then you have this like private conversation with your spouse in the back room, and you're whispering some things, and they say, I heard that. Right? I'm only speaking from firsthand experience here, so... Or like, where are we going? Where are you going? And it's like, oh my goodness. So how did you hear that? But when I'm literally like yelling at you in the face, not yelling, we don't do that here, but when I'm like speaking very authoritatively and raising my decibel level just a little bit, it's like they're just like tuned out because their mind is who knows where. They have already perfected the art of selective hearing. And I think there's a reason for that, and here's the reason. We need to understand that there's a difference between hearing and listening. There's a difference. We might use the term synonymously, and even Scripture kind of does, but when you unpack it, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is the physiological ability to take in sounds, right? It's to perceive sound. It's really a passive process in which we are able to hear. I'm talking to Rob right now. He's the ear, nose, throat expert, so you can correct me afterwards if I'm wrong or even right now. Come on up here. Just kidding. But hearing is a passive process. Like we hear we have the right components and body parts to perceive sound waves and decibels, and our brain says something's going on. You know, you're like, you know, dog barks or whatever. Something happens and it gets our attention. We're not looking for it. It just happens. But listening is different. Listening is an act. It means to actively pay attention and to comprehend or interpret sounds. Do you understand what you're following along with me here? To hear is just like, oh, something, I heard something. But to listen is going, what does that mean? What does that sound, what is it referring to? It also implies a conscious effort. To listen for the sake of understanding requires conscious effort. Listening means you are seeking to understand what is being spoken. And we see when we look at Scripture, this is the kind of listening that Jesus himself refers to. When he says on multiple occasions, he says this, he who has ears to hear, what does he say? Let him hear. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. In other words, not everybody that is hearing is hearing. Not everybody that's hearing is listening. But he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what Jesus is emphasizing by making that statement is the importance of not just hearing his teachings, but listening to understand and receiving his teachings. In other words, he invites us to a deeper understanding and to pay close attention to the meanings of his teachings. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, when we reflect on God's communication to us, right, and our ability to understand what he is trying to say to us, I think it's helpful for you and I to consider a few different truths that we see taught in Scripture. And that first truth is this: we need to understand that God communicates because God wants us to know truth. God doesn't communicate because he's an ogre in the sky trying to be this kind of dominating and authoritarian father or something like that. He is communicating to us because he wants us to know the truth, because he also knows, as Jesus says, the truth will set you free, right? He desires that we would know the truth. Paul even affirms this in 1 Timothy 2 to his protege Timothy. He says, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus says in John 8 to the Jews who had just believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Again, that's why Jesus came in the first place, right? To set us free. It implies that we were not free before Jesus came, and so Jesus came to set us free. Even Jesus himself prays to his Father in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to understand that the reason why God communicates with us even to this day, and I'll get to that point in just a second, is because he wants us to know the truth. It's why Revelation 3, verse 20 actually says, Jesus says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? We know that verse. Sometimes we can kind of regurgitate it, but when you think about it, that the language there is, behold, I stand at the door and I'm continually knocking. And then the question is, am I opening the door and letting him in and receiving what he is trying to offer me freely? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I have something to say to you. I have much to say to you. I want you to know the truth, because it is a truth that will ultimately set you free. And Jesus wants us to be free. God wants you to be free. Do you feel free this morning? Do you feel free? We'll talk about it more next week, but do you feel the weight of the world perhaps on your shoulders? Maybe you don't feel free. You want to be free, but you don't honestly feel free. Well, step one in coming and walking in newness of life and receiving the abundant life that Jesus offers us freely is knowing that God wants you to know the truth, because the truth ultimately sets you free. The question is, as he's knocking, figuratively speaking, are you letting him in? Are you listening? It's not because God isn't communicating. It's not because God isn't initiating. More often than not, we're too distracted. We're not able to comprehend, or we've been too resistant. But he wants you to know the truth. He wants you to be free. A second point I want to just reiterate, and this kind of goes without saying, and it kind of goes off of what I've just already said, but it's important that we kind of clearly state it. Not only does God want you to know the truth and that he is truth, but God still communicates his truth to you and I today. You realize that God is still communicating to us today. You might recall that you look at the Old Testament, for example, all throughout Scripture, God communicated with people in a variety of ways, right? So many different ways. I mean, God was not limited by how he communicated with people, and so he used a variety of means or methods. Why he did, I don't know. I mean, he could even use a donkey, right? And he did. To communicate his message, we see that for his prophet Elijah, he used a still, small voice, right? We use that in Revelation 1, it says that God, that John says that God uses a great voice as a trumpet. We see that he talked to Moses through the burning bush, right? We see that he used dreams on many different occasions to communicate his truth. He spoke like other people, like the priest Eli to Samuel. We see that he sent angels to communicate his message. Again, God was not limited. He used all kinds of means and methods to communicate his truth. The question is, how does he communicate to us today? How does he communicate to us today? Sometimes we look at Scripture going, man, I would love that burning bush experience. Maybe. You might kind of just go, I need to not drink what I just drank prior to seeing that burning bush. I don't know. Whatever it may be for you. But the fact is, you know, sometimes we want the supernatural, we want the divine, but God has already supernaturally, divinely communicated to us today, and this is how he's done it. First of all, God has communicated it to us firmly, completely through his Son, Jesus. Jesus, the coming of Christ, and the return of Christ one day, God is saying, I have communicated my message of hope and eternal life through my Son, Jesus Christ. This is what the author of Hebrews says right at the very beginning, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. How does God communicate to us today? Well, first and foremost, he communicates to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the way it manifests itself in a more applicable way for you and I this morning is he also communicates through the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus came, he says he came and he had an incredible ministry, but his ultimate ministry was in the climactic moment of human history was the cross of Jesus, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's why he came. He came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This all began in Egypt way back, you know, thousands of years prior, and was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus tells his disciples after the resurrection, it's good that I go. It's good that I go because the Holy Spirit will come in my absence and he will lead you in all truth. There we go again. The truth will set you free. It's the Spirit of Christ that is representing Jesus until he returns again on one unknown day. The Holy Spirit, God speaks to us by his Spirit. Jesus says this in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. Pay attention to that a second, by the way. The Spirit of God will glorify Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So, yes, Hebrews tells us that in the olden days, right? The old days, right? Old Testament scripture, God spoke in a variety of ways, but today he speaks to us through his Son. But Jesus isn't here now. So how does he speak? Through the Spirit. He is gone. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's with us now in spirit by the Holy Spirit. That is how he speaks to us today. And therefore, we must understand that when we open our Bibles, we need to understand that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is declaring the words of Christ to us, is also using the Word of God to speak to us, to minister to our hearts. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 3. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Here's the point, brothers and sisters. God wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to know his will. You see, God is not a God of confusion, but he is a God of clarity. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that God reveals everything to us, right? Just because he's a God of clarity and not of confusion doesn't mean he reveals everything to us or that we could even comprehend what he does reveal to us. How many of you know the scriptures fully and completely, lacking in nothing? You open the scriptures and we're still mining the depths that has already been revealed. Even Jesus himself says to his disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you can't actually handle them. You really can't understand. You can't bear them now. But that doesn't mean he doesn't reveal himself. That doesn't mean he doesn't continue to communicate to us. He wants us to know the truth. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He is still communicating with us today so that we might be free in him. He wants us to know his truth. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, if we were to summarize where we come to so far, listening to God, God wants us to know the truth. He still speaks to us today in many different ways, and so we're all good, right? What need do we have? Well, here's the conundrum. And the conundrum is this, that we consistently bump up against let me state it this way. It's not that God isn't communicating. That's not the failure isn't on God's part. It's the reason why we struggle in our walk of faith at times isn't because God has ceased to communicate, that he ceased to stop, you know, he doesn't stop knocking on our door. What gets in the way, what creates an issue, so to speak, is that we struggle to listen. We might hear at times, right, passively, but we struggle to listen. You know, when you think about how relationships are built, right, relationships, you could probably summarize a lot of different characteristics or healthy qualities that are true of a healthy relationship, right? There's trust, there's respect, there's commitment, just to name a few. But I think another key factor to a healthy relationship is what we might call effective communication, right? Notice I didn't just say communication. I said effective communication. There's a difference, a massive difference. Specifically, what I'm getting at is the ability to listen for the sake of understanding. Not to go launching on this too far or too long here, but I just want to say this. Many marriages today, and probably in the past, no doubt, but especially today, especially in my experience, many marriages dissolving today can really be attributed to the breakdown in communication between two spouses. And it's not because there's a lack of words spoken. Unfortunately, there's a lot of words spoken, right? But it's not effective communication. No, marriages break down or are dissolving because of really an unwillingness to listen for the sake of understanding. You see, listening requires, right? It requires a strategy, right? A full, undivided attention, which might require eye contact and positioning yourself in the front of the other person, right? Effective or strategic listening requires not talking. That kind of goes without saying, you would think, but again, not all sense is common sense. Effective communication or effective listening, strategic listening, means not preparing your response while the other person is talking. None of you have ever done that, I'm sure, right? You're preparing a rebuttal. You're like, oh, you know what? I already have something to say about that. And the whole time you're rehearsing and you're kind of like getting the right words and stuff. And the person's talking at you. Again, it's you're hearing, but you're not listening. Because listening is an active active strategy. Hearing is just a passive activity. So effective communication is oh so necessary. And this kind of brings us to our third truth. God wants us to know the truth. He still communicates with us today. But thirdly and finally, listening to God and understanding and receiving what he's saying to us requires a similar strategy. We need to be strategic when we listen to God. It's not just like, hey, I'm going to go about my life, live my life, and then wonder why God isn't talking to me. The question is, am I positioning myself in a way to receive from God in the first place? So the point is this, you and I need to be strategic. We have to be intentional about receiving from God so that we can hear from him. Because guys, here's the deal, and I know I don't have to convince you of this, but I'll say it anyways. There are actual and potential obstacles, abundant obstacles, that stand in the way of you receiving and listening to God. So we got to be strategic. We got to be intentional. We got to be proactive. And we got to kind of go about it in the most effective possible way. So the question is, what are some helpful strategies to listen to God and therefore receive and understand what he's saying to us? First strategy I think that is helpful is that at times, it doesn't mean that God can't communicate with you along the way, but at times, we need to find a quiet place that is free of distractions. We have to actually purposely, intentionally place ourselves in an environment or a context that is free from distractions. Because here's the deal. Our lives are full of actual and potential distractions, right? What are some common distractions in our life today? We have phone, video games, phone, music, phone, movies, phone, kids' sports, phone, hobbies, phone, people, phone. The advent of the cell phone, the smartphone, I'm not sure if it was the smartest move at times. Love the advancement of technology, benefited greatly from it, right? But there's always kind of a flip side to the coin, right? And those are oftentimes realized much later. You start feeling, kind of seeing the ill effects that it has much later in life. But the fact is, distractions in our life are abundant. And there's a reason why Luke's gospel even tells us that even Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray with his Father. And there was not even all the technological distractions, but he withdrew and he got away, he got alone to be with his Father for hours, sometimes for nights. Even his disciples didn't even know where he went at times because he knew, he's like, I just need to be away. Of course, that kind of presents another problem, and I think you can all relate to it in your own way. You see, when we remove the distractions and we kind of like get to that quiet place, right? How well do you stay focused in that quiet, undistracted, no more stimulation kind of environment? A couple seconds maybe? You know what I'm getting at? You know where I'm going with this? The fact is, removing the distractions is oh so helpful for us. But the fact is, because we've been on stimulation overload our entire life, we don't know what to do with ourselves when we get to that quiet place. We get so irritable, right? Or we get not irritable, but we just kind of get uncomfortable, right? We don't even know how to be bored again. We don't know how to be bored again. We don't know how to like live and just be without something stimulating or getting our attention. We struggle so much wanting to have like something like we got to take it in. And so we go like, yes, I got alone with God. But like 5 seconds later, I was like, squirrel, you know, maybe the question I should ask us is this. What is your squirrel? You know what I mean by that? You know, we all have these little squirrel moments. We all have our own squirrels, right? What's your squirrel or squirrels? We need to learn. And that, what it does reveal, it reveals this. That we, if we cannot function or be comfortable with nothing, then we've only proven that we are, in a sense, addicted to constant stimulation. being stimulated is not wrong. Always needing to be stimulated 100% of the time is not helpful, is not right, is not actually good for you. Why is everybody looking at each other right now? So, what is one of the strategies to truly hear, to listen, to receive, and understand God? We remove distractions, and we get used to the quiet. We get comfortable with nothing, so that all we can hear is God. And by the way, can I just encourage you in this way? I know the excuse sometimes, like, I just get so distracted. That's okay. Sit there anyways. Or take that walk. What do you got to do? Like, don't just dive back in. It's hard to break habits. It's difficult to, like, create a new normal. But it's worth it. Because it's in those still, quiet moments that God will speak to you. And he will give you something. And he's just waiting. And it's not because he's not already talking. It's just our ears are not tuned to the right frequency, or we haven't removed enough of the noise and distraction to be able to listen. I think a second strategy that we need to employ, and kids are really good at this, we just need to ask. We just need to ask, right? You know, sometimes my kids come to me and with some kind of complaint that their brothers or sisters are not sharing with them. And of course, in my effort to discover what's really going on and that whatever the interaction happened, I ask them, well, did you ask? Well, no, I just grabbed, and that created a fight. Oh, okay, so you went in, you wanted something, you grabbed it, you didn't ask, and then that created a fight and created a conflict. Let's work this out. Maybe you should just ask. It's real simple. You just got to ask, right? Sometimes we don't hear from God or receive from him because we just don't ask. James tells us you do not have because you do not ask. He goes on to say the verse later, and sometimes you ask and don't receive because you ask with the wrong motivations. So we're just encouraged to ask. In fact, James even says five verses into his letter, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. The promise is it will be, not I'll consider it, I'll put it in the complaint pile, but I'll put it in a consideration pile, and we'll see if I'll get back to you on that. No, he says, I'm going to give you. If you ask, I'm going to give it to you. God, again, because why? God wants us to know his truth. And he communicates us to us today. So he says, ask. Ask anything. But this brings us to our third strategy. The third strategy is this. Keep asking. Keep asking. Don't just ask once. That's not just a one and done thing, but keep asking. Luke 18, there's the parable of the persistent widow, right? The persistent widow, it talks about the widow who just kind of kept asking until she received what she was requesting. You see, God is actually inviting us into that kind of relationship where he says, like, I want you to ask, I want to keep asking. And it's not because God is trying to play hard to get. It's not because he's trying to be elusive or he's trying to somehow withhold or to make it really difficult. He's not trying to add burden or extra obstacles in our life. That's not the case. He's actually training us. He's actually growing us. He's actually maturing us by not giving us what we ask for in that moment. And so the encouragement to us, much like he says in Luke 18, he says he told them the parable in effect that they might always pray and not lose heart. So what he's training us is this: keep asking until you receive. That's the invitation. Keep asking until you receive. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep asking. There's a reason why God has chosen to say, not yet. There's a reason why he's chosen to say, not yet, or maybe not in that way, but like this. Or no, but yes. Keep asking. Even last Sunday, I was, hopefully you know, is I'm always praying about what to preach and how long to preach. Not necessarily that part, but what to preach. And last Sunday when I was preparing the message, I had my message all laid out. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, felt this overwhelming unsettledness. And I was like, man, Lord, I just don't feel like this is what I'm supposed to share. So what do you want me to share? And all week last week, I'm like, is it more like this? Is it more like that? And I'm wrestling, and I'm asking. And finally on Thursday, it kind of like hit me. And I'm like, oh, this is the direction that I need to go. It didn't come when I wanted it to, but I kept asking until I received. And hopefully you benefited from that. Ask and keep asking until you receive. I think a fourth strategy that is really important that we need to understand is this: read Scripture daily. I know. All of us in here could probably raise your hand going, okay, you know, I could probably just read the Bible more and could probably pray more and stuff. And we all acknowledge things that we could do more. This isn't about more, by the way. More is almost more discouraging than it is encouraging, right? Even though that may be the right response. But, you know, it is kind of interesting when you kind of simplify the scenario here, right? We want to hear from God, and yet we are unwilling to stop and open His Scripture and realize He's already spoken. Not just already, past tense, but when you open the Word of God, He is speaking to you actively in that moment. Do you realize that when Paul says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, he's saying God just didn't speak past tense to some ancient people in ancient times. When He has spoken, and He continues to speak today. In other words, there's a timelessness to God's truth. There's a reason why even like the psalmist David says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, there's a systemic problem within Western Christianity, and that is this: we have way too many Bibles that we do not read. I'm glad that you have every translation. Which one do you actually read? You see, we want to know, God wants us to know, but remember what I said before, we are distracted to death. And there is a formidable enemy who is continually trying to put the other carrots out in front of you, so to speak, and to get you kind of moving this way and moving that way. Just whatever it is, you can even serve the needy. You can even do philanthropist kind of work. Just don't sit in the presence of God and let Him speak to you. Because He knows that when God speaks to you, He transforms you, and He changes you, and He empowers you. And peace and joy and a deep-seated, unexplainable settledness is the fruit of that. We need to understand that when we read Scripture, God is actually speaking to us in that moment. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and is actively ministering to our hearts. When you meditate on Scripture, you are learning to listen, to understand, and receive. So it's not even just about how much you read. I love how, what's his bucket down at Dallas Theological Seminary. He said this. I'm going to refer this back to Mike. Mike, who's the guy from Dallas Theological Seminary? The main professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. Howard Hendricks, that's right. See, we're working together, you know. Howard Hendricks, there we go. Howard Hendricks said this: it's not so much how much you get into the Word, it's how much the Word gets into you. So we can read and close the book, check off the list, and we're like, okay, I did my reading plan. No. I'm not against reading plans, but it's how much the word gets into you. Guess what? We have to sit in the scripture. Meditation is a slowing down. Again, the hardest thing for us to do, right? To slow down, to stop, to pause, and to receive what God has for us. But that is the way in which we begin to soak up the truth that sets us free. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not for a lack of knowledge that we perish. It's a lack of follow-through. We know what we ought to do, but how can we encourage one another to do it? When you open the Word, God is speaking. And then my last encouragement on that strategy is, do you have a resolve in your heart or mind to obey His Word? It's one thing to know. It's another thing to follow through. James tells us, don't be just doers of the Word. He says, be doers of the Word, not just hearers only who are deceiving yourselves. In fact, Jesus even says this in Matthew 7. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see the contrast, right? Both people, they have heard the word. The difference was one followed through and one ignored. And great was the fall on the one who ignored. So how do we receive? How do we truly listen to God? First of all, know that we need to find it. He wants us to know the truth, and He's communicating to us today, so we need to find, at times, a quiet place free of distraction. That's why I always encourage you, don't read your Bible on your phone. I'm not making that a legalistic rule, but I just know me, and I think I have some idea of knowing you. The phone is a piece of technology that allows for too many other things. And even though you can get every translation you want on your Bible app, open your Bible, remove the potential distractions, and let God speak to you. And then ask God, God, what are you saying? I'm here. I'm quieting my heart. I'm tuning out distractions. And when I don't, I'm just going to ask you right there, like, Jesus, I speak the name of Jesus, right? We just sang about that. I just need you right now. Keep asking, meditate. God, what are you seeking to tell me today? And then, Lord, give me the will to obey. You might wonder this, why does it really matter? Does it really matter, or why would it really matter to hear from God? I think Peter affirmed it best. You remember that scene in John chapter 6 when Jesus said some very hard teachings and most people left and said, we didn't sign up for this, we don't want anything to do with this. And he even asked his disciples, are you going to go too? And what is Peter's response? Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, I ask that question for you. Where else will you go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. He doesn't just know the truth, He is the embodiment of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants you to know the truth because He knows the truth will set you free. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? As Hebrews says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It's very likely that many of us, or at least a number of us, may have some sense that God has been speaking to us, but maybe we have not been paying attention as we ought. Or perhaps we've been just dismissing it, or feels uncomfortable. Maybe God has been speaking to us, and we don't like what he's saying, because what he's actually asking us to do is scary, uncomfortable. I think the most common thought in my mind that comes right now is, maybe he's asking some of you, I need to go confess my sin. Maybe he's asking some of you, I need to forgive that person. And I've just been holding on. The scripture tells us that it is for freedom that Christ came to set us free. But perhaps some of us have been hardening our hearts, and God has been speaking, and he's been patient, and he hasn't stopped knocking. But we've been ignoring as best as we can. But perhaps today is a day in which you say, okay, I'm listening. I'm listening because I believe that what Jesus offers me and what he seeks to lead me in are paths of righteousness, freedom, newfound hope. What is it for you? Jesus tells us in John 10, verse 10, he says, the enemy, the evil one, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then Jesus goes on to say, but I came, as a, like the most stark contrast you can ever imagine. But I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. That's what Jesus wants for you. He wants you to have the abundant life, to experience that every day. I'm not saying he says, I want you to have a life without struggle. That's not what I said. But he does want you to have a life that is experienced abundantly in him. So what is he saying to you? And are you listening? Well, Jesus, even now we acknowledge your love, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy in our life. We thank you that, Father in heaven, you don't leave us to our own demise, that you didn't create this world and just say, okay, good luck, spin it into motion, and walked away. We're not deists in the sense that there's a higher power but is uninvolved with his creation. No, you are a God who is actively involved in every detail of your creation. It's because you love what you created. And you love this creation called the human race so much that you sent your son Jesus to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And now, as people who have been bought, who have been blood bought by the blood of the Lamb, who have been saved to eternal life, whose sin no longer eternally plagues them, I pray that we would be a people that is eager to listen, who has ears to hear. He who has ears to hear, she who has ears to hear, let them listen. Let them hear. So, Father, right now we say we're listening, and we want to receive, and we want to understand. Forgive us when we become too much of a busybody. We dive into all kinds of even good things, but at the expense of the best things. So speak to us now. Speak to us by your Spirit. Give us what we need. And may we find joy and peace and newfound hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.